You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Do we go into the other idea that I had, or do we just go into fashion?
What was the other idea?
Giving kind of a moment in history, kind of thing from the 70s.
Okay. How about we do something fun? How about we talk about fashion?
Fashion, okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Can we do that thing that you sent us? The Me TV?
Yeah, quiz? We can do that.
That'd be awesome. That's cool.
All right.
Because I'm interested in... Because I did the quiz already.
Oh, I did not. Oh, this would be good then.
Oh, cool.
Do we want to start with that or the t-shirt one?
I didn't wear t-shirts in the 70s.
All right, fair enough.
So you know, I did not. I just heard like half America go, "What?" Yeah, I did not own a t-shirt until I was like well into my 20s. All
right.
Just, well, I take that back because I had to wear a t-shirt under my uniform in the Army, but that's it. I just always thought t-shirts were for guys.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Pop and Step. Push your bend when things get rough. HR Pop and Step.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man.
So let's do this. This is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I have got the wonderful, beautiful Rose.
Hey.
We didn't do an intro before, but I, you know, the joy of editing, I'll make everything seem right. This is episode, where are we at? Episode 4 already. Episode 4 of Banzai Retro Club. We're on 70-something, and we are talking 70s fashion.
Yeah.
And what I did earlier today is I sent Rose this article that I saw on MeTV.com, which has a lot of great articles, by the way. A lot of great quizzes and articles and videos and a lot of good retro stuff. Just to let you know, Rose, I haven't told you this yet, but I did reach out to them to say, hey, would you be interested in talking to us on the podcast? And I did get a response, and they said they would. So this is... one of the people that are in charge of the web portion of the MeTV.com. So I'm hoping to line that up, and then we can have a chat with this gentleman helps put all this together.
I think that's awesome, and I love how you're always able to pull people out of your closet. Sorry, I was actually going to say something a bit more vile, because I can never get anybody to interview me for anything. If I wanted to ask somebody, what do you think of Crest toothpaste? They'd be like, no comment. Seriously? A fucking toothpaste. Jeez, people, come on. What do you think I'm going to do? Like, hold you hostage or something? But yeah, so anybody that I want interviewed, I'll just send them over to your arena.
Well, hopefully I get a yes out of them. But
I hope.
I'm always pleasantly surprised when somebody, you know, when I get a positive response back to that question. I always send it out there, and I've learned not to get too hopeful about it, but then when somebody throws me a bone and yeah. answers positive, then all of a sudden I'm like, you know, Mr. Excited, you know, happy dog. Yay!
I'm like 5 years old. Oh my God, I can't believe these people are actually going to talk to me. Oh, wait a minute. I got to get their name and phone number. And then,
yeah, so I got to reach back out to them, set something up. And, but yeah, I think, you know, with all the stuff that's out there on their website, there's going to be plenty of retro stuff for us to geek out on.
I think so.
But let's start with this article that I sent you.
Yeah.
And it's called, very simply, Be Honest, Would You Wear These 1970s Fashions? And how do you feel about polyester, velour, and bell bottoms? And it's an actual quiz, and Rose says that she's already taken it, but I have not. So what I think it might be fun is I'm going to go through this as if, you know, how I would answer if I was taking it online by myself, and I'll just talk about it. And then, Rose, you would give your answer, and then we'll see where I end up, and then you tell me where your results ended up.
Sounded great.
Okay. So the number one, and unfortunately this isn't going to help a lot visually. Oh, I mean, because visually there's a lot of great pictures that are on this quiz.
A lot of bad ones too.
Oh yeah, there totally is. but we'll go from, you know, just kind of, I guess, explaining the picture as best as we can. But question one, this is, let's jump right into it with these jumpsuits. Would you wear this out? And the picture that I'm looking at depicts a male with very hairy chest, and you know, a nice great mustache, as they did in the 70s, looking Orno's over death. At this wonderful looking lady that's showing a great deal of cleavage.
Lots of cleavage.
Yes, a lot of cleavage going on there. And they're just, you know, he's wearing the blue short sleeve jumpsuit, and she's wearing her white, you know, short sleeve jumpsuit. Just kind of looking at each other, kind of in a disco motif.
Yeah.
So the question is, Rose, would you wear these? Or did you?
Hell no! There's no way that my 70s body would have been able to pull off anything that looked like that. I probably could have wore the man's jumpsuit, but yeah, I wouldn't have. The lady's jumpsuit, it wasn't like a whole lot there. They didn't really leave you a whole lot to the imagination. Either you had cleavage or you didn't. There's no stomachs involved here, so you couldn't have any type of pooching anatomy that showed that you didn't work out that weekend or that you had chili or something like that. Yeah, I'm going to pass on. Pass.
Yeah.
And the color suck. Pass.
Yeah. Yeah, these don't look like they would lend themselves to pot bellies.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, you couldn't get away with that in this look.
No.
But I'm sure there's plenty of people in the 70s that tried to.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So I'm answering no to that one.
Yeah, me too.
Just so our listeners know, 81% of people agreed with me, or agreed with us.
Yes, they did.
So, no.
The other 18% of you are sick.
18% of people said, yes, I would rock that, jumpsuit. So
yeah,
good
if you were
that.
Freddie Mercury, maybe. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, wait, I take that back, because they wouldn't have made a jumpsuit big enough for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, that I don't know what size that would be.
Yeah, that would be.
That's a great question. When you're, I mean, these are all one-piece things. So I'm used to buying pants, and I'm used to buying shirts, but how would I buy that as a combo? You know, knowing. I mean, do they sell them with, do you have to know your inseam and your shirt size and your waist size?
I would think so, because, you know, that's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those are all one piece of everything.
Yeah, it looks like it might have been one of those one size fits all. And the fact that they cost $45 a piece, That's a lot of money. This is 1970s money we're talking. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
For that hideous looking thing. Anyway. Shall we move on?
Yeah, we're going to move on, but the picture depicts them as having a great time in those jumpsuits. So we're going to leave them back in 1970 and move on.
Thank God.
All right. So would you still wear bell bottoms or flares? Yeah, and this is more of a kid's ad is that we're looking at here.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It looks like a back-to-school kind of ad to me.
They should have some brothers out there with the wide-brim hats and the coats that came, like, down to the calf, and you should hear, like, Shaft music playing in the back, because that's who really killed in the bell-bottoms.
Yeah, they had a...
Okay?
Yeah,
I'm just putting it out there.
They owned that.
The brothers had it going on, okay, with the afros and sunglasses. Yeah, so I don't know anybody who didn't want to look like that where I came from. So I don't know what you said, Dave, but...
Well, I haven't answered yet. I'm still stuck on the kids to the right that have the horizontal stripes going down the length of the pants.
Yeah.
That's guy? An interesting...
Is that a guy next to the girl with the ponytail?
I think so. I think that's a guy and a girl.
I just, is he showing up for a dance audition?
Yeah.
Why is he sitting like that? No, I think it might be a girl. Cause that looks like a bow in her hair. But there's no boob, so maybe she's prepubescent.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think shoes look the same. I'm going to call that a girl.
Okay.
I'm calling it a girl. Yeah.
Well, here's my, I was forced into bell bottoms, actually.
Oh?
My Navy days.
I was going to say, other than people in the Navy.
Yes. Geez. And believe it or not, you know, what sold it is, even though I wasn't a big fan of them at the time, you know, the logic behind the bell-bottoms in the Navy was that, like, the dungaree pants, which are kind of like the denim ones. Everybody has those is because the pants could actually be used as a flotation device. And believe it or not, and the reason why they're bell bottom is to help you get them off quickly if you're ever in a need to quickly tie them up and use them as a flotation device so you can get them past your boots.
Wow.
So there's actually a functional reason for that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that in a million years.
But did they look good? No.
No.
So, no. Would you still wear bell bottoms or flares? And here's the problem. Would I still wear? I mean, I was forced to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if somehow that fad regurgitated himself, I'm going to go, I'm signing out. I'm going to say no.
Oh, man. That breaks my heart.
So you were into it then.
I was totally into it. And as we go further down the page, you'll see why. But I loved them in – I would never wear the Partridge Family stripy pants. That's who it looks like. It looks like the Partridge Family.
It does.
Stripy horizontal stripes. And then solid colors definitely – I've always been into prints, but it would have to be – I had this one pair. It was really awesome. My mom bought me for Christmas, and it was – they were pink plaid, but they were like a pink and green and white, kind of an all tartan look. I love those things. I wore those suckers like you would wear a pair of pants out. They ripped out in the leg and the crotch because girlfriend was curvy. And I remember going to school, sewing those bastards up before I went because I had to wear those because it was the only pair of pants I had that I looked good in. And finally, my mom caught me one day and she's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "My pants ripped and I'm sewing them back up. Do you have enough time to do that before school?" Like, "Yeah, I'm almost done." She goes, "Here, let me see what you did." And yeah, it's like the last thing you want your mom to do is see your handiwork or lack of it. And she goes, what the hell? How many times have you sewn these pants up? A lot. Get in your room and go change your clothes. You're not wearing these damn things. I'm throwing them out. She might as well have just shot me in the head, seriously, with a rifle. Because I was like, you can't. I have to wear those today. Because it's Tuesday. I don't know. I wasn't even that smart of a thinker back then. So she's like, this is me taking these to the trash and throwing them away. I'll buy you some new pants. Go put something else on. God, I could have just crawled to school in a cardboard box and stayed there all day. That's how crap my day was. Cannot believe it. You know, and it was just like, I look back on that now, you know, when I was 13 years old, and I'm thinking, a pair of pants made or broke my whole day. Yeah, anything like that happens now? Yeah, that shit goes in the trash, and I just walk into work like, hey, look at me. I look like I just put some clothes away because I didn't fit. So, you know, big deal. Difference between being 57 and 13. So, yeah, I'd wear them. So, I'd wear them again.
So, all right, so your answer was yes, the whiter, the better. And you were the majority.
I was.
Yeah, the majority is 52%. So it's pretty even with that answer. But you got the slight edge going. So, yeah, right now, I guess the people that have looked at this quiz online have agreed with you. For the majority has.
The majority of them, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people answered, but I'm, you know, that would be an interesting question.
Six, I think. Four people said yes, and three people said no. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how to do percentages.
All right. So next up, how do you feel about polyester? What we have is another picture that has kind of a, looks like a teen and a younger brother maybe, with kind of polyester vests and shirts. You know, with some, I know blue is a young one, and I'm trying to think, what color is that?
That's mauve.
Mauve. Ooh, great color. Mauve.
And pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what we got here? What, so the shirts are going $3.99, and then the teens is $4.99. And then you have a perma-pressed reversible vest.
Yeah, you can't see a price on that one.
Yeah, so it's 50% like polyester, 50% cotton. Yeah, okay. So, what was your thing about polyester?
Oh, it's comfy. I love polyester. Unfortunately, it's not biodegradable. So, anybody that had polyester back in the day, that shit's still in the landfill. Sorry, people. This is why they don't make a whole lot of it anymore, because it's not conducive to the environment, but it is comfy. It's stretchy all over the place. Love it.
Now, I wish I remembered where this picture was, but I know there was a situation where my mom had dressed me up. And I know that it was, I had to be maybe all of 5 or 6. So we're talking 74, 75. Or, you know, 76. You know, let's put somewhere in those areas. And there was definitely a picture of me rocking a very similar outfit to what these gentlemen are wearing.
Really?
And I don't know where, I don't remember where, when's the last time I saw that, but if I ever run across it again, I'll try to remember to scan it in, because it's going to be embarrassing as hell. I was rocking that same kind of outfit, and I'm thinking that it may have been something for like some sort of school picture or something along those lines. Even though I don't remember seeing myself in a yearbook wearing this.
But Easter?
Was that Easter? Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been something like that. But it's definitely was an outfit that I remember being put on me. I don't remember if it was one of those things where I was like, yes, get me the polyester vest, Mom.
Gotta have one of those.
But matching shirt. Yeah, but when you're a kid, though, I think you can get away with it. I think that, you know, even, you know, let's assume that in modern day times, 2017, I took and bought one of these outfits for my son. It would be cute.
How old is your son?
Well, okay, it wouldn't be cute to him.
I was gonna say, yeah. He's as old as I think he is. Yeah.
He's
See,
12.
The difference in the cute. Yeah, okay. To the kid in the blue, it looks cute.
Yes.
Kid in the pink, creepy. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what age that turns around, though. When does it stops from being cute to creepy?
I go 5, 6, 7. Then after 8, forget it.
Okay. So, polyester, how did you answer that?
It's comfy.
It's comfy. And then the other choice is UGG, it can't breathe.
Right.
How do you feel about polyester? Let's go, it's comfy.
Yeah. We're the silent majority.
We are. 71% says UGG, it can't breathe. 28%
well, yeah,
says it's
that's
comfy.
Not answering the question, though. How do you feel about polyester? Did you wear it? Did you not wear it?
Yeah, I think that would be a better way to put those answers.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we at next here? What's this?
What about velour? Would you wear that?
Velour shirts.
Yes, they're washable.
Oh, what do we have here? We have a dense pile of velour knit of 80% soft cotton for comfort. 20% strong polyester for long wear. Machine wash, warm, tumble dry.
Mm-hmm.
I've never rocked the velour.
And that's not totally unheard of. I don't remember a whole lot of velour in the 70s until later. Like in high school. Like the kids in my high school wore it. The guys that, you know, there was a certain type of guy that wore velour.
It seems very country clubbish. You know,
yeah.
Like if you're wearing velour, you're almost the, oh, Muffy, let's go for a round of golf.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And I'm not labeling velour as that, but it just, to me, it feels that, you know, that's the kind of vibe I get from it.
Right.
But I'm, you know, I'm guessing that maybe, you know, if you were trying to be a hip dad from the 70s or something like that, maybe you would have had velour in your closet as a, you know, lounging shirt.
Yeah, possibly.
I'm guessing. I mean, I don't remember my dad ever rocking the velour. No, I didn't. But that's not to say that, you know, it was unheard of. I just don't think that in our social circles, you know, it was. But then again, we were in Florida, you know, and it wasn't like.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of velour wearing in Florida.
Yeah, so I don't think that would have happened too much.
Yeah.
And even when we're visiting family, you know, I don't recall a lot of that going on either. You know, polyester, yes, velour, no.
Yeah. I think velour was kind of one of those special occasion shirts. When you didn't want to wear a shirt and tie, but you wanted to look nice all the same.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I've seen guys wear velour shirts with jeans. And it looks super hot, so. It looks very.
When's the last time you saw that look being?
1977.
77, okay. Alright.
Yeah.
Alright.
I'm
so.
Sure there's. See, the velour did take on another entity, but that was well into the 90s, the late 80s and 90s.
So the question, Yeah. So the question is, how about Velour? Would you wear that? And our choices are, so soft, of course, or nope. I'm answering the first one. So soft, of course.
Me too.
Hey, look at that. We're majority on that one. 51%.
Yeah. Hey, can't deny the velour.
Yeah, and, you know, it might, you know, to me, if I'm wearing that now, I almost feel like I would spend time just stroking my arm.
Yeah.
I feel like, ooh, that's soft.
I feel so soft and cozy.
And I think that'd be the appeal of it. I don't care how it look. It's just, oh, that feels good.
Yeah. Could be brown with green stripes. Yep. Man, my arms feel so soft.
Yo, I'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
We interrupt this program for a special...
Hey, I don't get it.
Rose, what I wanted you to know is something that was very popular back in the 70s that I just didn't get. And it was a popular TV show, actually.
Oh.
And it might be one that you like. I don't know. But for some reason, I couldn't get hooked into it. It was on from 1971 to 1979. Starred Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, Rob Reiner, and who else was in that? Sally Struthers.
What?
So I'm talking... Yeah, I'm talking All in the Family.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, and well, let me explain myself before you get defensive. All right. So, I mean, everybody knows All in the Family, right? I mean, it's, you know, he's a working class guy. He squabbles with his family a lot. But he has bigoted tendencies. But it was a very, very popular show back in the 70s. And... for some reason, you know how there's like certain people that just, when you hear their voice or when you hear them talk, they just don't jive well with you? In this case, it wasn't Archie. It was Edith.
Oh, poor Edith.
And her voice. And unfortunately, you know, the modern day equivalent of that, even though it's a show I should totally love and adore, the Goldbergs, the father does the same thing to me. I try, but his voice just, I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me. And it's not where I want to continually watch it and enjoy it. Edith was the same thing. As soon as I hear the theme song and her singing, it was like, please turn it off. I couldn't give it the attention that it did because I couldn't get past her voice. I couldn't get past her, the way she talked. For this show to be as big as it was, and to believe it or not, I actually watched this thing earlier today on Netflix that was talking about 70s TV shows, and they were praising All in the Family as being groundbreaking, you know, as a TV show because it, you know, it was not, you know, it was something that kind of broke the mold, where you had sitcoms before that played it safe. All in the Family did not play it safe. And that's what really made it as kind of strong as it did, because people would go, you know, here's something that's, some kind of perspective that is just really not, I don't know, safe, for a better way of putting it. And I know that, and I know Archie... he was kind of the lovable heel, if you will. It's like he got his just desserts in, you know, specific episodes that they would put him in. But for me, though, it was just, I couldn't get past Edith's voice, Gene Stapleton. And I don't know, I feel like I missed out on something because of that.
I guess the one thing about it was you had to have lived in that era before.
Okay.
You know, these were all the you know, the post-war soldiers, people who had proudly served their country, and they were home. It was the 70s, and they remembered the days like it were yesterday. And the moms, you know, a lot of them still had that mentality that, you know, I'm up early in the morning, I got my apron on, I've got my, you know, my dress, I'm already ready, I'm making breakfast, put my send the kids off to school, husband off to work type of thing. And that was their life, you know. So they didn't think anything of it. And along come the 70s, and it's just like, you know, your kids are grown. You have more freedom now to do the things that I guess you want to do. But I don't think Edith knew how to do anything else. And her daughter and her son-in-law were kind of like her outlook on life. They would tell her about all the things that were going on, and mainly about the rights that women had as actual members of society, besides being their dad's, you know, handmaiden, you know, give me my beer, you know, where's my dinner, why are we having this, you know, kind of a work hard all day and all this nonsense. You know, so women were really kind of trying to break away from that. And I think when you have a show like All in the Family, and you have a lead character like Carol O'Connor playing Archie Bunker, who is so bigoted and so outspoken and so just out there, and he's just loud and proud and he doesn't care about anything. And his wife's gonna, I don't know, she's a little older, from New York, you know, so they've got that accent going, you know, and she's got a high-pitched voice anyway. Which Jean Stapleton really didn't. That was a put on. She has a very nice alto voice. But to be able to pull that off and to be able to be his straight man for all those years, you know, that takes some good acting chops, I think. Yes, the voice was annoying, but that added to her character. To this day, I love listening to a whiny, nasally New York accent. It just makes me smile, because it makes not so much think of her, but it just makes me think of other people that I've heard, you know. And it was groundbreaking because nobody talked about what they liked or disliked as far as society and people in their own culture and people in the neighborhood. They just always kept it to themselves. And to be able to put something like this on TV, it was like, hey, guess what? There's other people out there that think just like you do. You know, and you'd have the Jeffersons would come over, and then you'd have, you know, all these different characters that were interwoven. And of course, Michael, who I don't think was in the military at all. Rob Reiner's character, I don't think he was in the military, so he was always talked down to about that. You know, but Edith stuck up for everybody, even Archie. She just was there for everybody. She was the enabler for all, you know. And the fact that it lasted as long as it did just goes to show you them, and I think MASH, and there was a few other shows in the 70s that went on, you know, beyond its time. I think it was just the majority, the people, said, keep this on. We like this. We can relate to these people. You know, I'm sorry you missed it. You know,
it was the personality and the voice of Edith. It's strictly what it was. And it, and I don't think, you know, if they would have had like a different frontline character, I don't think I would have minded watching the rest of it.
Right.
But, and you know, I don't know. It's just sometimes there is a voice or, like I said, a personality that you just, you can't get into. And it's not like it's the, you know, a character that does kind of this high-pitched voice or whatever. Because, I mean, like Big Bang Theory, I love Bernadette, you know, and you would think. You would think that would be the same way, but it's not. You know, I'm like, she's lovely. She's funny. She's, you know, and for some reason, you know, if you compare the two shows, just for the, I don't know, the nasally kind of high-pitched woman character. I can get around Bernadette, but I can't get around Edith. And I don't know why that was, but, you know, somewhere in, you know, I mean, I was a kid in the 70s. And maybe, you know, the social message that, you know, All in the Family had behind it, you know, I wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that I was too attuned to because I'm a kid, you know. I just was, you know, let me worry about my, you know, my action figures, Star Wars action figures, or let me worry about the Evel Knievel, you know, stunt cycle. I'm not, you know, I'm not really signed in for this. So for whatever reason, I just didn't jump into it.
Yeah. Which is weird because I watched a lot of TV as a kid. And when that came on, it came on around about the same time that you had, there was a slew of them. There was All in the Family. There was Maude, I think, came from All in the Family.
Yeah, yeah, it was a spin-off.
Yeah, love Beatrice Arthur. What is the one? And I can't believe I'm forgetting one of my favorite shows.
Jeffersons?
Yeah, it was them, and then there was another show. It was an all-black family.
Good Times?
Good Times, yeah. Because that was one of my favorite shows.
JJ,
yeah.
Dynamite.
And it was Dynamite. You know, and it was just, it was the start of, I would say it wasn't reality TV. It was start of realism in TV.
Right.
You know, because Happy Days is like, yeah, we get it. It's the 50s, and you guys are awesome, and everything's groovy, and you're baby boomers, and, you know. But you look at Happy Days, and then you look at Good Times, you know, where they're always struggling, and their neighbors are eating cat food because they can't afford groceries, and they live in the slums, and, you know, it's just, it's two disparate cultures and realities in the same society, you know, so I think that's probably why they had to have so many shows on like that, that eventually, you know, the humor was there, but there was a lot of realism there too, and it was almost like a, it's almost like a comedy drama almost. It wasn't quite Family with that girl that you like, Christine Nichol.
Yeah,
that show that she was in on ABC.
Family.
That was actually very compelling, but it had its humorous moments too. But it was really a drama, you know.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think it was just the 70s was the turning point, I think, for a lot of things to come, you know.
I think the TV shows that were being put out were, they had message behind them. And, you know, and All in the Family, while I didn't understand it, but based on the, you know, the thing that I watched today on Netflix, you know, which was put out by CNN, you know, they were talking about how, you know, it was kind of a turning point where a lot of the, you know, situation comedies or a lot of these TV shows started having more of a message to it. And if you look at things like MASH, you know, we all knew that that was about the Vietnam War, but there was comedy elements that were the, you know, a lot of what was going on in the show, but there were some serious messages being portrayed there about war not being a good thing.
Right.
And
it was actually the Korean War.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the Korean War is what they had said it was, but it was, you know, the same time frame as the
in reality.
Right. In reality, it was, you know, they were taking the headlines from the Vietnam War and putting it into the situation comedy, but saying it's about the Korean War just so they can get away with it.
Uh-huh. Well done.
Yeah. So, and then All in the Family, the other thing that I thought was interesting from this, you know, show that I watched earlier was that they had said that the reason why the Jeffersons came about was because I think it was the African American militant group. What's that group called again?
The Black Panthers?
Black Panthers. They were complaining about Good Times. And they're like, what about, you know, what about the successful people? And, you know, the successful African-Americans. And so then somebody says, you know, so then the next thing that comes out is the Jeffersons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of a, you know, definitely a sign of the times, you know, and there were messages being put out there. And then the people that were putting these shows, like All in the Family, Good Times, Jeffersons, they were putting a little message in there. But, you know, like I said, I couldn't get past the front door. So I checked out.
And you know, that's okay. But there's plenty of things out there that I'm sure you were interested in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing. I think this segment is a good topic because one of the least favorite sentences that I hate in the human vocabulary is, well, everybody loves it. Well, everybody's buying them. Well, everybody saw it. No, everybody didn't see it. No, everybody didn't buy it. And no, everybody isn't doing it. Because I'm raising my hand as that person that didn't do it or see it or buy it.
Yeah,
you know, but it's that.
We
that,
proved
you
that
know,
a lot on our show.
That's what I'm saying. And see, people need to know that. And I think a lot of times people want to be, you know, individuals and they just, I'm afraid what other people are going to think or say. It's like when I said, oh my God, you didn't watch All in the Family? Yeah, I could care less, honestly. No, I'm kidding. That was a really good show. Shame on you, Dave. But anyway, there's going to be something out there. Somebody's going to say something and do something that's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And yeah, let's shake it up a bit. You know, let's rattle their cage with our tin cup and say, hey, guess what? I didn't wear bell bottoms. Woohoo! Kind of a thing. So yeah, I think it's great.
Awesome.
I like this thing.
All right.
That's all.
Now back to the show.
All right. So next question, is this collar too wide? We have this gentleman that's looking off to the side, and he's got this shirt that has a collar that seems to just almost hit his shoulder blades.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure any second now that the collar is going to come up and allow him to, like, take off like a jet engine.
Either that or it's going to pierce his shoulder blades. And
It almost looks like it could draw blood, yes.
Bodily harm. And look at the look on his face. It's very, I wouldn't even call that pensive, because he actually looks annoyed. He looks like he's pissed off about something. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the shirt.
I was actually thinking the look of determination, but
no, he does not look determined to take it off, maybe, but no, he looks kind of like he's looking out the window. Who's that fucking with my car? He's got that look on his face. I swear.
But regarding the shirt, I think I have more issue with how tight it is versus the collars.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm not having a problem with how tight it is.
Oh, so you're good with that. Okay.
Yeah. He looks quite handsome in that.
So
you're right. It's a little too snug, I think.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what it looks from the chest down. We just see the chest and the shoulders and the head, but
yeah, we don't
know. You
know,
that could be the only button that's buttoned as far as we know.
Yeah, we don't know if there's a beer belly going on there or not.
Yeah, he might be able to button one more button and the rest of it's just open. Maybe that's what it is.
So what's your thoughts on the collar? Is that too big, too little?
Honestly, I don't think it's too wide. I really don't.
You don't? Okay.
No. Mm-mm.
Hmm. Yeah,
because
I
don't know.
I'm thinking it may be a tad too big.
You think so?
I think so. I you know,
hey,
you
have to wear them, not me.
Well, and here's the deal. I'm at a job now that I've got to wear a suit every day. And I'm trying to think through, like, if I had a shirt like this,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my catalog of my inventory of clothes, would right. I wear it? And I couldn't see myself doing that.
What is with the double buttons?
I don't get that either. I was trying to figure that out.
I thought it was just that, you know, the one that's unbuttoned. Right. Then I see the top of the collar, there's two buttons, which means the further down you go, there's double buttons too. Maybe it's supposed to be that tight.
So it's like it's got a backup button just in case the other one bursts?
Perhaps.
Hmm.
It does look a bit snug.
All right. So where are we at here? Is this collar too wide? So are you answering yes or no?
I'm answering no.
I'm answering yes. Let's see what we lay here. 64% agree with me. 35% agree with you. So I'm in the majority of that one. Yay me. yeah.
You win. Time.
Well, no, I was just thinking I wouldn't wear that shirt is really what I was going to. And I'm trying to figure out, is it the tightness factor or is it the collar?
Yeah.
And I can't get around the tightness factor to really give a good judge of the collar. Yeah. But if I had one of my regular shirts that I wear every day having mm-hmm. that same collar, I don't mm-hmm. know if I don't know if it would be in my regular rotation.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying I would not wear okay. that. Okay.
Well, hey. Not terrible.
All right. So are these ties too wide? So we're looking at striped herringbone ties, all for $7.99.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are wide, somewhat wide in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Around, well, just the overall tie themselves. And I actually have a tie now that mm-hmm. is black and white striped. With a bit of gray mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I feel is a little wide for its brothers that are in the same closet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've often felt that way. I'm like, is this tie too wide? And it might be the same width as these guys.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with them, honestly. I think they look great.
Yeah, I don't seem to have a problem with what they're depicting here. And yeah. obviously I have one that is too wide. Mm-hmm. But there's this other tie that I have yet to wear to mm-hmm. my current job. But mm-hmm. it's one that I had when I was younger. We went to a yard sale. And mm-hmm. I think I paid 25 or 50 cents for it. And it's got almost every color of the spectrum that you can imagine in this tie.
Wow.
And it is just, it reeks of 70s.
Yeah.
And my boss's boss, he has this thing that he considers Fun Tie Friday, where you,
mm-hmm.
he'll occasionally wear a tie that is, you know, that has like a theme to it, like a Grateful Dead or something along those lines. And every so often I break out the Star Wars tie a computer tie or, you know, something that has cartoon computer graphics on it as Fun Tie Friday. And I always tell myself one of these days I'm going to wear that circa 1970s.
You probably get so many accolades for that.
And I haven't yet. I haven't been brave enough.
You need to. You need to. You need to be brave.
It's in there, though. It is.
Be confident.
So, but the other one that I told you about before, I wore that one. Yes. I wear that one regularly.
You wear the hell out of that, but you won't wear the obvious 70s
yes.
multicolored. You need to wear it. Seriously.
I might have to throw that one out there and have a
You're an onion,
going.
Dave.
And do a selfie on a Friday and put that on the Instagram, the Bonsai Retro Club Instagram or something.
You should.
Just
I keep telling you, you're an onion. You listen.
It sounds like we're both saying these are fine.
I think they're fine.
Okay, I'm going with you on that one.
Sweet.
71% agree with us.
Is that amazing?
That is great.
That is totally awesome. I love it. And I'm even looking at the stripe ones going, you know, that one, that blue one's not too bad. And not really in brown, but yeah. The purple and blue and then the light blue one, that's kind of cool and all. That orange one, meh. But the herringbones are kind of cool. That orange one looks like it belongs to a Hawaiian shirt or something. I don't know.
I can see why this is a great question to ask because, I mean, being in the 80s, everything was about thin ties.
Yeah.
So now it just seems to be kind of a conservative is kind of right in the middle ground where you don't have it too wide, you don't have it too thin, you're just kind of regular. And,
yeah.
But every so often, you can get away with a wide tie, and I don't think that anybody really makes a big deal about it. At least 71% of us don't.
Right.
All right, so next up, we have, what is it? Gauchos? Gauchos?
Gauchos, yeah.
Gauchos.
Gauchos.
They weren't just mm-hmm. for gauchos. Yeah. Would you wear them?
I want you to give me an answer, because I have a story.
Sweater vest and gaucho shirt complete the total look. So I guess what we're given a visual here, we have this vest that I don't know. It looks very, I want to say, like Native American kind of vibe to it.
It has a very festive look to it. There's so many colors. So many colors. Yeah, it looks almost like a Navajo blanket, just about.
Yeah,
Southwest, but yeah, that's the term. Southwest, has a very southwestern look to it.
Yeah, and they're just calling it a multicolored sweater vest.
Yeah. Because they don't know either.
And I recall my sister wearing something very similar to this.
Yeah.
So I know it was out there in the 70s. I don't have a problem with it, actually. But
well,
I know, I mean, that wasn't anything that was a guy thing, though.
No. But if you had a girlfriend back then and, you know, you were going on a date to have pizza and she showed up in gauchos, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, take those damn things off.
Not at all.
Yeah, see. That's cool. That's a cowl neck sweater, by the way, she's wearing. I love those. That was the God's answer to prayer for the people who like wearing turtlenecks but didn't like being strangled at the same time.
It's very, who am I thinking of? Scooby-Doo, Velma.
Yeah, very Velma. Yeah, but it's... It was very practical, too, because that was like, thank you. I want my neck to be warm, but I don't want to leave rug burn marks on it. So.
Yeah, it seems very comfortable to me.
Yeah, the whole outfit looks comfy. I know you want my answer, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Okay, so I'll try to make this as quick as possible. Wasn't a slave to fashion, but when I saw something that I liked, I felt like I needed to have it. Probably the mid to late 70s, every woman who had legs wore gauchos. And it was the fashion statement for that time. And I wanted a pair. I didn't necessarily want anything that looked like that because I wore boots. I wanted something to just cover the top, like past my knees. I wanted something to cover, even if it went further, because some of them went a little further and I'd hit you mid-calf. I thought, okay, with some high heel boots, you know, rocking in one of those cowl neck sweaters, you know, I'd be the shit. So I worked for this dress store. That was my first job. And my job, when I chose to do it, was to open up the stock boxes, tag all the stock, and then bring it out on the floor. Well, it just so happened that the first box that I opened were the new gauchos that were coming into the store. And I freaked. It's like, oh my God, I don't believe this. And I'm looking at the price, and they're like $14.99, and I'm thinking, shit. Because that's probably what I made, by the way, for like a whole week's pay. It was $14.99. So I'm thinking, God, that's going to be like two paychecks. So I literally drop what I'm doing. I kid you not. I go and I grab a pair of the size that I wore, and I go into the dressing room, and I come out after looking at myself for a very long time thinking, damn it, why don't these work? You know, because I started to walk and they would bunch up in the crotch. And I was pissed. So I walked out and I asked my boss, I'm like, what do you think? She goes, where'd you get those? I'm like, oh, they're in the new stock that came in. And you just decided to try them on? I'm like, Gloria, I've been meaning to, I'm going to buy them. I mean, I just need an opinion. She was like, yeah, we'll talk about that later. She goes, what's the opinion? I'm like, what do you think? She goes, turn around. And I turned around. She goes, walk away from me. And I walked away from her. And I'm pulling the bunch out of my, and then I walk and it's like, see that bunch in thing? She goes, yeah. Okay. So these aren't actually made for women that have legs. Like real women, these were made for women who have like bird legs, you know, where they get that gap in between your thighs where you could see like down the street when they're walking. She goes, yeah, I don't know how else to tell you that that's not a good look for you. I'm like, are you just saying that because I am trying clothes on while I'm working? She goes, not really, but yeah, it's a good thought. I'm like, wow. Okay.
You're in trouble, but you're not in trouble.
Trouble. We'll talk about it later, but the gauchos are definitely not for you. I was like, shit. I so wanted it to be for me, but it wasn't. So even I answered it, sure, I am that person. Yeah. I never owned a pair.
I'm going to give it the same because I think it's a cute look.
It is a cute look, but apparently it's not for everybody.
It is not, because but after hitting
that, you have 59%. Yeah.
59% said no.
Because they have real thighs. That's why.
Yeah, so 40% would not rock a gacho.
Yeah, but we still think we would.
We want to.
We want to. Yeah.
So how many do we have left here? I'm kind of running low on time, so that's why I wanted to see.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do this. Why don't you pick one of the ones that you want to talk about?
Okay.
And we'll jump to that one.
Okay. All right. Even though I love the Earth Shoots. I never owned them, but they always looked so cool. Yeah, let's talk about the platform shoes, shall we?
Platform shoes. All right. How about platform shoes? So, yeah, it looks like this came from, well, it says Christmas down at the bottom of the ad.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we have, just a selection of ladies' platform shoes. Mm-hmm. That look leather in nature,
mm-hmm.
along with kind of a pretty substantial wood platform that they're on.
Right.
Yeah, and that's really kind of, I mean, in your mind's eye, if you're picturing that, that's exactly what they are. I don't even know how many inches is that.
Let me try and see. Because the whole purpose of the platform was to balance you as you were walking. Your heel and the foot part had to be like the same length or height. Yeah, they had to be the same height all the way around. Later on, they would come out with wedges that, you know, gave you a little bit more lift in the back. But the purpose of the platform was so you didn't break your neck as you're wearing the bell bottoms. Because the bell bottoms hit right to the ground. Always. There was never any, like, if you had bell bottoms that came to your ankles, no offense, you were either in the Navy or your mom put them on too high in the dryer and shrunk them. So the purpose of the, once again, the platform is to keep the height of the person wearing the bell bottoms. And it was a smooth transition. You'd walk down the street. You know, if you could see the shoe, that was okay. But if you couldn't see the shoe, that was even better. Because that meant that your bell bottoms were that wide and that long that you really had it going on. So, which pair would I wear? Funny you should ask, Dave. None of the leather ones, because those look too goofy. They kind of show you the black one in the back with the look like the cork heel.
Yes.
That one? Yeah, I would wear something like that. Only because these other shoes look like, I don't know, they look like kid shoes to me. It's just a little too juvenile look for me. Even though I've seen women wear it and pull it off, but I needed something a little bit more stylish. So I would definitely wear those in the back.
So how tall are you?
5'6½.
With platforms, how tall would you be?
5'10.
Wow. Okay. That's a good height difference there.
Yeah. But it's like any heel. It takes a while to get adjusted. You really have to be careful. Remember those shoes that came out not too long ago? I can't remember who made them, but they were a sneaker and it had that bowed, sole. You know, how you walk on it and it's like, the biggest part was in the middle, and then you walk on it, felt like you're walking on rocker shoes. Do you remember those?
No, I don't.
I think Skechers made them, and everybody had them. And everybody couldn't wear them because not everybody is coordinated. So there was a lot of people out there breaking their ankles and feet because they were trying to run in those damn things, and unless you're sure-footed like a fox or fucking John Elway or something, and it's not going to happen. You know,
right.
It's like anything that, you know, that needs to have coordination involved. Platforms needed to have coordination involved. Did I look awesome when I wore them? Yes. Was I extremely careful when I walked to school 12 blocks in them? Absolutely. I am not a coordinated person. There were too many times that I would walk, twist, fall off, get back on. Keep walking. Of course, hopefully nobody saw you. But the people that did, you know, you just tried that much harder to stay balanced and made sure you only wore them once a week or a month as opposed to, you know, every day. The later times in the 70s when you had the separate platform, you know, like the big platform, like the guys the pimps used to wear with the big platform, and they had it separated, which I had a picture to show you. It had the big heel, clunky heel in the back, the big heel at the ball of the foot, and those, you know, like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, those shoes. Those shoes became a lot more popular because you had a little bit more stability to them. Made you taller, but you could also walk better in them. So,
yeah, my only bit of reference here is, and I didn't have any platform shoes, but I remember an episode of MASH
mm-hmm.
where Radar got, you know, a pair of platform shoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was because he wanted to help his confidence.
You know, yeah.
Because he's always being picked on about his size.
Yeah.
And when he puts them on and he's trying them on for the first time, of course he's being clumsy because he's not used to them.
Right.
But, you know, his partner in crime, Klinger, is like, you know, look at you, you're great, you know, and all of a sudden he's, you know, feeling more confident and he's got, you know, this bravado about him. And then, you know, when he finally, meets up with, Hawkeye,
mm-hmm.
Hawkeye's like, you don't need those, you know, and it was just kind of like, you know, almost like the life lesson that you're just fine the way you are, man, just accept it, you know, and it was just. Yeah, that's really my only reference to platform shoes that, you know, I can dig out of my memory bank. I never had a pair.
Ah, you so could have had a pair. I could see you rocking. You know, I bet you Scott had them.
That would be an interesting story to hear.
I would love to hear that story. I bet you he had some. Just purely based on his yearbook picture alone.
Yes. Yeah, I'm kind of running short on time, so I am, we're just going to have to end this here.
Yeah. What did we say?
But no, we've got to answer that one though. How about platform shoes? Yes, they make me taller, or no, I'm afraid I'd fall over.
Yeah.
What, how do you answer that?
I answered yes.
You're answering yes.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm 5'6" also. I would say yes, they make me taller.
There you go.
And we are the minority.
100%. We are the minority. I could not wait to say that because I thought, what?
No, I'm afraid I'd fall over. No one else wants to brave, possibly injury to their ankles and or neck for the sake of fashion. What the hell?
All I can say, beauty is pain. I love it.
Well, this is great though. This is a great discussion. I honestly, it'd be great to go through the rest of these things.
Yeah, maybe we can segue that into something else. Maybe the T-shirt one. I don't know.
Yeah, leisure suits definitely need some discussion, I think.
Oh my God, do they ever? They need their own podcast. I don't know what people were thinking with those things. No one normal ever wore a leisure suit. That's all I'm saying. It's always weird that wore a leisure suit.
And here's the thing. Looking at this article, I didn't realize that the Chicago skates were designated by a clear wheel.
Neither did I. I did not.
I didn't realize that those were a thing called Chicago skates.
And the only reason I answered the question like that is because I am from Chicago. So, okay. Honestly, I never roller skated as a child, so. I'm just being biased. I'm being regionally biased.
All right, so that's Bonsai Retro Club. And once again, I'm Dave, and online I've got Rose.
Hey.
As we have said before, if you want to reach out and get a hold of us, the best way to do that is going to BonsaiRetroClub.com. That's going to give you a connection to all to us, and all of our different connection methods, you know, whether it be your Instagram, your Pinterest, your Tumblr, Twitter, all that good stuff. You know, we want you to go to that website, check it out, and just see what we have going on. We're doing our best to get more blog stuff. We're obviously continuing on with our podcasts, and it's just going to be a lot of more groovy topics coming at you.
Totally.
What did I forget, Rose?
I don't think you forgot anything, because we're still new in this, so we can't threaten people yet to give us reviews.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, by the time this gets posted, I'm hoping that we're on iTunes already. We're not there yet, but I've just got to work on the mechanics of that. And
yeah.
Really, the reason why I haven't pulled that trigger yet is because I'm debating on our podcast hosts. Right now, we're on a free podcast hosts, and I'm thinking of going to a paid model just because I think it's more stable.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's going on in the background and the reason why we haven't jumped into the world of iTunes yet, but we will.
Yeah.
Definitely want to be there.
Definitely.
All right, so as I've started to say, you know, until I come up with a better catchphrase, just be excellent to each other. You know, as I've said, I just want everybody to be nice and decent to each other and not be jerks or assholes. And I think that this world is filled enough with those type of people. And, you know, as a listener of retro media, I'm hoping that you're one of the groovy ones. You're the ones that want to be nice to each other and cool and impart that to others. So that's what I mean when I say be excellent to each other, and yep. I mean that.
Me too.
So everybody have a good whatever, because we have no idea when you're listening to this.
Absolutely. See you guys later.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!